This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 481, down 4 3/4. May corn, 489, down 2. July corn, 493, down 2 1/4. March soybeans, 1457.5, up 20. May soybeans, 1457 3/4, up 19 3/4. July soybeans, 1424 3/4, up 15 1/4. March wheat, 646 1/4, up 4 3/4. May wheat, 654, up 8. July wheat, 659, up 9.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Friday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Friday afternoon. Soybeans posted substantial gains on exports and tight old crop supplies. Wheat found strength from problems in the Ukraine and Russia, and corn ended the day lower, but ended the week higher. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 8 cents lower at 445 to 470. Soybeans were 17 to 23 cents higher at 1403 to 1446. In the central part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 to 6 cents lower at 455 to 473. Soybean bids were 18 to 23 cents higher at 1442 to 1453. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 495. Soybean bids were 21 to 30 cents higher at 1436 to 1467. Wheat bids were mixed at 633 to 667. Now on to the Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids. They were 20 to 22 cents higher at 1463 to 1483. The base is steady to 2 cents higher at 5 to 25 over the May. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 482.80 and to 507.80 per ton. That's $6.90 to $11.90 higher. With the basis steady to 5 cents higher at 25 to 50 over the May. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 2 to 5 cents lower at 474 to 485. With the basis steady to 3 cents lower at 4 to 5 under the May. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 1 to 2 cents lower at 474 to 489. Basis steady to 1 higher at 15 under to option the May. Soybeans ended 18 to 20 cents higher at 1446 to 1459, with the basis steady to 2 cents lower at 12 under to 1 over the May. New crop wheat prices were 6 to 10 cents higher at 634 to 636, and the basis steady to 4 cents lower at 23 to 25 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 cents lower at 505 to 509. These elevators raised their soybean prices 15 to 19 cents with quotations of 1469 to 1480. Soft wheat closed 7 cents higher at 679 to 680, and Milo ended the day 2 cents lower at 559 to 564. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 443 to 460, and soybeans 1139 to 1176. In the central part of the state, bids ran from 450 on corn up to 463, and on soybeans 1153 to 1176. In the southern part of the state, corn bids were 444 to 465. Soybean bids were 1155 to 1194, and soft wheat bids were 619 to 652. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock future quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 143.25, up 10 cents. June live cattle, 135.87, up 40 cents. August live cattle, 133.85, up 70 cents. March feeder cattle, 172.37, up 97 cents. April feeder cattle, 173.65, up 85 cents. May feeder cattle, 174.40, up 95 cents. April lean hogs, 113, up 60 cents. May lean hogs, 117.75, up 90 cents. June lean hogs, 120.50, up $1.15. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 7th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt hog report, calculations were a 200-pound pork carcass traded 35 cents higher in a range of 96.90 to 103.22, with the weighted average carcass price of 102.40. From the Illinois Direct Sow report, slaughter sows are trading steady with moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 66 to 72, 4 to 5 weights 68 to 77, 5 to 550 weights 70 to 78, and 550 and up 71 to 79. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 71 to 77. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 13,575 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction for Thursday, March the 6th. They had receipts of 345 head compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers sold $2 to $4 higher. Slaughter Holstein steers sold $3 higher. And slaughter cows $4 to $7 higher. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 151 to 155. Select and choice steers were 142.50 to 149. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were 133 to 147.50. Select and choice Holstein steers 131. And select Holstein steers were 124. Choice slaughter heifers 149.75 to 153.50. And select and choice heifers were 141 to 148.75. Onto the slaughter cows, the premiums were bringing 130 to 131. Breakers were 97 to 104. Boners 93 to 100. And leans were 80. Onto the slaughter bulls, they had a few bulls under 1,300 pounds bring $1.10. And bulls 1,500 pounds and up were bringing 91.25 to 96. Now in the direct cattle trade for the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 145.50 to 146 and on a dress basis at 235 to 237. Heifers on a live basis traded at 147 and on a dress basis 235 to 237. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 257 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $111.99, and that was $1.85 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $236.02, and that was 44 cents higher, with select carcasses at $232.87, and that was 13 cents lower. From the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 102,000. That compared to 114,000 last week and 110,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 396,000 compared to 405,000 last week and 420,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. March corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.82. April corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.90. March corn delivered to Scottville, $4.73. April corn delivered to Scottville, $4.81. March beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.49. April beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.53. March beans delivered to Scottville, $14.38. April beans delivered to Scottville, $14.42. March wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.44. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.82. Corn at Scottville is $4.73. Beans at Greenfield are $14.49. Beans at Scottville are $14.38. And wheat at Scottville is $6.44. U.S. representatives have introduced the Farmer Identity Protection Act, a companion bill to the one introduced in the Senate last year to prohibit EPA from disclosing private and confidential information of livestock and poultry producers to the public. This legislation comes in response to the release of personal information of more than 80,000 producers in 29 states to three radical environmental groups through a Freedom of Information Act request in February and April of 2013. National Cattlemen's Beef Association President Bob McCann says there's no justification for the blatant disregard of producers' privacy. To turn this information over to anyone isn't just reckless, McCann says, but it poses serious agrotourism threats. EPA says it doesn't have statutory authority to protect producers' personal information, but this new legislation would provide EPA with the ability to do so in the future. After the harsh winter, there have been some questions about how the wheat crop will look. President of the Illinois Wheat Association, Kyle Brazzi, says they're going to scout the Illinois wheat fields carefully this spring.
Overall, we're optimistic that the wheat crop will turn out okay. We're a little bit worried about some of those cold temperatures. Anytime we're below 0 degrees, specifically negative 6 to negative 10, which we had without snow cover, we can see things like plants heaved out of the ground and some necrotic tissue around some of the leaf edges. So we're going to assess that over the next few weeks and try and figure out what we need to do, if there's anything that needs to be either destroyed or, fixed or taken out. But for the most part, I hope we'll be all right.
And do you know of any problem areas already that you're going to need to really look into?
We'll look at fields where we had less snow cover, so places where we didn't have that blanket of insulation. We'll worry more about those fields than some of the others.
And looking ahead to wheat harvest, or even further ahead to the next planting, are there any problems that you guys are anticipating, either with diseases or weed control in wheat fields?
We'll watch, scout all through the entire growing season until we get to where we're at harvest. Big proponent of fungicides at Feeks 10.51. We know that head scab is always going to be a risk, so we watch weather models, try to predict what's going to happen. In a lot of places, we spend some money on fungicides to try and address that.
Are there any things that came up last year that you're going to really be watching for this year? I know you already mentioned fungicide.
Stripe rust is one that in my area kind of caught us off guard a little bit, but we're watching for it now, so that's kind of a new one for us. I'm on the northern end of where there's a lot of wheat grown in Madison County, so we're just watching for diseases, and that's a new one for us.
Again, that was Kyle Brazzi of the Illinois Wheat Association. As it starts to warm up, the new crop season is on everyone's mind, but the corn market will be behaving differently this year than in recent years past. Todd Gleason has an interview on how the fundamentals of corn market have shifted from a supply-driven market to a demand-driven market.
Daryl Good, ag economist at the U of I, is in studio to take a look at the marketplace. And let's start with corn. Interesting factors playing into the marketplace on the global front. Can you lay out the market as you see it?
Well, we've experienced a very nice run-up in corn prices really since the first of the year. Initially triggered, I think, by the December 1 stocks report released in the second week of January. And we got a nice bounce off of that. Prices then flattened out a bit. And then more recently have moved higher, I think, basically because of very strong export sales of U.S. corn. We continue to see nice weekly sales, good shipments on a weekly basis. And then the last ingredient that has come into that market, of course, is the Russian-Ukrainian situation, which some have interpreted as maybe interrupting exports of grain from that part of the world and shifting some demand to other places, including the U.S., and that might tighten up our balance sheet here for old crop corn, and certainly the market has reflected that in the last few days. prices moving sharply higher. And so here we sat with a, you know, much stronger demand than we thought we would have for corn this year, prospects for smaller ending stocks than we thought we would have. And now some uncertainty facing us again as we go into the 2014 planting season. A lot of people questioning how timely we're going to be able to plant the 2014 crop. Continued to be pretty cool in some places where they really haven't had much snow cover. In particular, that we see a lot of pretty deep frost in the ground, and it looks like we're not going to have a really early planting season this year, and therefore perhaps not an early harvest. So everything has kind of turned supportive in the corn market in recent weeks.
Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
An Oregon State University study finds that an experience with wolves can lead to a stress response in cattle that leads to decreased profits for ranchers. That's because this stress can result in decreased pregnancy rates, lighter calves, and a greater likelihood of getting sick. Animal scientist Ronaldo Cook says it's like post-traumatic stress disorder, but for cows. To measure the stress of a wolf attack on cows, researchers simulated a wolf encounter with 100 cows. Half of those had never seen a wolf, while the other half had been part of a herd previously attacked. Cows were gathered in a pen scented with wolf urine, while pre-recorded wolf howls played over a stereo, and three dogs, closely resembling wolves, walked outside the pen. The stress hormone cortisol was found to increase by 30% in the cows previously exposed to wolves. According to the researchers, they also bunched up in a corner, formed a protective circle, and acted agitated. Their body temperatures increased rapidly as well. Those cows previously unfamiliar with wolves were curious about the dogs and showed no signs of stress. David Bonnert, an expert in ruminant nutrition at OSU's Eastern Oregon Agriculture Research Center and co-author of the study with Cook, says with stress likely decreasing the proportion of those getting pregnant and causing lighter calves from those that do, a singular wolf attack can have negative financial ripple effects for some time. This isn't just a worry for farmers in northwestern states like Oregon, as there have been wolf spottings in Illinois. We'll have more this afternoon on the potential wolf threats in Illinois. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.